In Jesus' name we pray. And this is a prayer point. And you don't take only here, you take it in your private, your privacy. Can we stand up and pray this prayer? Lord, I'm pressing on the upward way. And new heights I want to gain every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Hymn number 30. The prayer says, Lord, lift me up and let me stand on heaven's table land by faith. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on the higher ground. Oh, it's a prayer. It's a consecration prayer.
Lord, lead me, 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 L
May the Lord answer our prayers in the name of Jesus. Let's continue with the topic, only the dead in Christ shall resurrect. Only the dead in Christ will go in the rapture. Our text, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and verse 17. Let's remain standing as we pick the text.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with
a shout. Let them all stand up first. Let's just pick a text by standing. Our own way of honoring the word for the day. It is the tradition of the bride worldwide. When we want to pick a text, we shall all stand up. That's our own way of announcing that this is the most sincere part of the service. The breaking of the bread, the preaching of the word. If we are all up and we make sure nobody distracts you, because one word could change your life forever. So let's pay attention. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and verse 17 for the text.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God.
What will happen?
And the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Uh-huh.
Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Amen. To meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
May the Lord bless you to the reading of his word. Please be seated. This will be part 3 of the message titled, Only the Dead in Christ Shall Resurrect. The scripture we read says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Why? Actually, that statement should not be dead in Christ. It should be dead with Christ. It gives it a better meaning. Only the dead with Christ will resurrect. Why? Because John chapter 11, read from verse 21 to verse 26. Concerning the resurrection of
then said
Lazarus.
Martha,
yes.
Then said Martha unto Jesus,
yes.
Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died.
If you were around, my brother would not have died.
But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee.
Uh-huh.
Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again.
Hey, thy brother shall rise again. Uh-huh.
Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection.
I am the resurrection.
And the life.
And the life.
He that believeth in me.
He that believeth in me.
Though you are dead.
Even if you die.
Yet shall he live.
You will live again. And whosoever liveth. We are reading verse 26.
And whosoever liveth and believeth,
and believeth in me shall never die. Read again.
And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die.
Again.
And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die.
And he asked a question.
Believest thou this?
Church, believest thou this? Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, read up to verse 13.
It is a faithful saying. For if you be dead with him.
That's why I say it's not dead in Christ. It's dead with Christ. If we be dead with him.
We shall also live with him.
That is how we shall also live with him.
If we suffer, we shall also reign with him.
If we suffer like he also suffered, we shall also reign, rule with him.
Uh-huh. If we deny him. He also will deny
if
us.
If you deny him, he will deny us. It's a principle.
If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. Hallelujah. He cannot deny himself.
Paul again in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 to verse 14.
And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ.
Christ is the one that circumcises our excess flesh, carnality, and makes us clean spiritually. Go ahead.
Buried with him in baptism.
You see, that's why I say you are dead with Christ. That is what water baptism is all about. We are buried with him
in baptism.
In baptism.
Wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you,
that is the same power that brought him back from the dead. That is the same power that will walk in you to bring you also back from the dead. Go on.
And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, as he quickened together with him.
He has now given us life. Together with who?
With him.
With him, Jesus.
Having forgiven you all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way,
nailing it to the cross. Amen. My emphasis in this teaching, as I recap what we have been speaking, try to get the full message, is there is a law of life. Except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and dies, a new life will not come up. It must die and rot for that life that is inside to come up. There's a life in that seed. But the old nature, when the seed of God comes inside of you, the old nature must die for the life in that seed to manifest. Old nature must die for the new nature to be formed. That's why in verse 35, 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come?
And what did he say?
Thou fool. That which thou sowest is not quickened.
It's not quickened except it die. It's a law.
And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain.
It goes down in mortality. It comes out in immortality. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So that you'll understand the meaning of that scripture which we emphasized last week. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Except you are changed, your nature is changed, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Because if you read Romans chapter 8, the first 10 verses there, the emphasis there is that they that are in the flesh can never please God. You can't live a life ruled by this your flesh and think you can ever please God. The time for our glorification is the time for this flesh to die, so that our really glorified self will be made manifest. You must submit yourself for the work of regeneration. And in John chapter 12 verse 23, if you read it from up to verse 26, the emphasis there is that if you love this your flesh, your body, your life too much, you will lose it in the great eternal age that is coming. But when you lose it, allow it to die so that your new man will come up. When you do that, then you certainly gain back your life again. Why? Because 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 50 says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. The way we are, we cannot enter into the kingdom. The way we are, this body must be changed to a glorious body. Praise the Lord. That's why he says in Mark chapter 16, he says, from verse 15, go and preach the gospel to all nations, all creatures. He said, he that believeth and is baptized. Baptism there is you identifying or submitting yourself and demonstrating you will submit yourself. Be identified with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The baptism there is death to this carnality. You must die. That scripture is, he that believeth and is dead shall be saved. Praise the Lord. Because what is baptism? Romans chapter 6, let's read it from verse 3.
Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, yes, were baptized into his death?
You see?
Therefore, we are buried with him.
We are buried with him
by baptism into death.
Uh-huh.
That like as Christ was raised up from the dead, uh-huh, by the glory of the Father,
uh-huh,
even so we also should walk in newness of life.
And you can read the whole of that scripture, read it up to verse 14. That is the mystery. And some of us don't understand this thing. I've been stressing and stressing it. Don't understand. You think just go for water baptism. Some go for water baptism so that they will not be attacked. Some go to water baptism so that they will be confirmed in their church. Some go for water baptism so that they will be allowed to take communion in their church. Some go for water baptism so that they will become full member of a church. That is not what that ordinance is for. That ordinance is saying you are submitting yourself for your own nature to die, so that your new man can come up. If a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. But you can never be a new creature until the old nature dies. Don't know how to put it. I don't know. I know something, but how to convey it? I don't know if they are getting it. And the dying process, we try to look at it. The dying process, praise the Lord. He uses the seed of his word. That's what we see in 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm only recapping what we have spoken from verse 23 to 25, that we are born again by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. That word is the seed that he plants inside of a sinner, and there is a life that is inside that seed that will germinate and come out. But before that life can truly come out, it deals with the sin nature to die first. When you receive the word, there is a work it does the inside. Because the word of God is not ordinary word of man. In John 6 verse 63, he said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. That word that he speaks carry life. Why? Because that word is God himself. Oh, praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 to 13, describe the word as quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Describe the strength. Jeremiah 23, verse 29 says it's like a hammer. When he hammered the sinner, oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. It breaks you down. If there is any spirit there that will try to fight it, Ephesians 6 verse 17 describe the word of God as a sword of the spirit. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Sharper. Praise the Lord. That is what will produce the godly sorrow that will walk out in repentance. You can never repent a true repentance until you receive the word. It breaks you down. And when it breaks you down, then you can ask. The Bible says they were pricked in their heart when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. The word that Peter spoke, oh glory be to God, hallelujah, was like a hammer. It removed religion. It pulled them out of the Pharisees and Sadducees doctrines. The type of righteousness of the law, it broke them down. It removed pride for the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And then they begin to ask, that is the godly sorrow. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Until you come to that estate, you only enter the water to go and swim. It has no effect in you. If you see, some of you will go and rebaptize. If you catch this revelation, you are sincere. If you did not repent before you went to the water, go and rebaptize. You were not baptized at all. There are many people looking at me now. Go and rebaptize. Oh, that's the reason why you are not yet converted. You did not receive the word. I pray that God will cause me to say something even today and throughout this consecration period that will bring somebody to be convinced. Convinced. Next Sunday, I'm going to preach on the topic of the wrath to come. Maybe God will use that one too to make somebody run to Jesus. Maybe God will use something that I can say this afternoon and in this series I've been taking for the past 2-3 weeks to let somebody examine yourself. You are the only person that truly knows, you and God, whether you are converted or not. You can deceive me, you can deceive the pastor, but you cannot deceive yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anytime. Oh, glory be to God. The word of God. The word of God. The word of God. The word of God. May we receive the word of God. Hallelujah. See how powerful it is. Hallelujah. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. I said this. People who love going to mountain and dry fasting and fasting may think I'm speaking against them. No. I'm only telling the truth. No fasting and prayer can convert you. Where shall a young man
Where will thou? Psalm 119 verse 9.
Psalm 119 and verse 9. What does it say?
Where will thou shall a young man cleanse his way?
How will a young man? Because, amen. Olumide was challenging me today, this morning. He says, sir, because we reduced the youth program. They used to come every Saturday for program. I said, no, let them do their program once in a month. Now he came to me this morning, he opened, he was very, very angry. He said, sir, you are killing the youth fellowship. I said, how? He said, sir, you gave your life to Christ as an adult. You don't know what the youth are passing through now. He said, sir, keep them busy every weekend or they will go the other way. That's what the young man was telling me today. Amen. But if they will come, brother, it's not prayer and fasting that will keep them away from the world. What did the Bible say?
By taking it thereto according to the
word. Read it again, verse 9. What did it say?
Where with that shall a young man cleanse his way?
How will you cleanse your way, young man, young woman?
By taking it thereto according to thy word.
According to the word of God. And verse 11.
Thy word have I hid in my heart.
He said, thy word have I hid in my heart
that I may not sin against thee.
That I may not sin against thee. Now I could say this to my shame, but I will say it. There is a friend of mine, not just that, many of them are like that. People that have associated with me. And I discovered that because some of them know I am benevolent. So, you know, if you're a giver, you have so many parasitic relationships. And you will think they love you. The day you stop giving them what they are looking for, that is when you will know that they were serpents. Anyway, this guy was very, very close to me. Very, very close to me. But things happened and they were among those. In fact, he spearheaded, he in particular, spearheaded all the nonsense they were talking I'm finishing. He's also pastoring a church. He started 3 years before this church started. We are very, very close. But suddenly things happened and it went that way. Turned completely my enemy. And before you know what, 2 years ago, he came to me and said he had a problem. You were among those praying with me. I asked him, brother, God bless you, God bless you. You were among those praying for me for fruit of the womb. When I had a son, did you hear I had a son? He said, yeah. I said, I went to your church. I dropped a note with your PA. You were fasting and praying with me. I said, did you hear that the church was demolished? He said, yes, he had it. I was giving myself a reason why I'm not going to give you what they find. So you know all this. You didn't identify. You only know me when you have problem. So I told him, I said, what you're looking for, you see, we are building. The church cannot help you. I mean, personal, I don't have to give you. Sorry. While he was sitting down there, I was justifying myself. Before I said, Lord, this temptation is too much. Oh, this temptation is too much. Oh, these people are making me look very foolish now. This is making me very foolish now. Father, why are you tempting me like this now? 2 years, I have not found peace because I did that. I'm coming to why I give the testimony. Few days ago, in our family altar, we are now reading the Bible. And my little daughter was the one that was reading. And then it says, do good to them that hate you. Bless, pray for your enemy. Bless your enemy. And it was like arrow piercing me. Piercing me, because that man, something was completely on me. And a few days ago, my wife is here. We were inside the car going somewhere. The pressure was so much on me as if I'm going to explode. And I knew that thing is a hindrance on my part. It makes me look spiritual. I mean, hypocritical. So inside the car, I called him. He screamed, he shouted. He said, Brother Moses, I said, yes. I said, where are you? Can you see me? He said, you want me to come now? I said, no. I said, I just called. You just came to my mind. That problem you came to me that time, how far now? He said, my brother, it is even worse. Amen. And I told him to come and see me. And he was here during the weekend. And what I'm saying is, immediately I said, come and see me, it was as if a load that was on me left me. I became free, became happy again. And when he came to my office, I stood up, I hugged him. Praise the Lord. And he narrated how 80% of his church members scattered because where they were, they gave them quit notice. He himself, the problem he has. Hey. Amen. It's among those that said, I am occultic. This church is an occultic church. And I call Prophet Sunday. With the occultic power, God is going to deliver you now. And by the time Prophet Sunday entered the spirit for him, the man was crying. And I didn't tell you why he's crying. It's not because you showed his problem. It's because this is what I spoke against. He has conscience. He didn't say with mouth, but I know. And I sat down. I said, don't worry. Sit down. He ran away from his house because his landlord is disturbing him. 2 years rent. He cannot. I told him to come today. I will give him his house rent. Now, listen. Listen. Why I brought it out is, it was no prophecy. The word of God was read. It hit me. I had no peace. That is evidence I have life in me. If you begin to battle with yourself, and the word of God cannot pierce through to let go for God's sake, then you know you are among those that need God more than anybody these 21 days. As a power in the word. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because it's a sword of the Spirit. That is what produces godly sorrow that will make you repent. If you fast, and you don't study the word of God, can I tell you what you have done? You have gone on starvation. Because fasting puts the flesh away to enable your spirit hear from God. Therefore, it is a period where it's not just prayer. Which prayer point are you going to use? It is what you hear from the word of God that will become your prayer point. Oh, stop, Lord. Don't use this 21 years, 21 days, and use it, say, Lord, I must marry this year. No, forget prayer for prosperity. Forget prayer for marriage. Even forget prayer for healing. Why? He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What did 3 John verse 2, what does he say? 3 John, there's a language that he used. I wish above all things
that thou mayest prosper and be in health.
Now listen, prosperity is the perfect will of God. But see, there is the order, there's a due order. Read it again.
Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth.
Even as thy soul prospereth. So which prosperity comes first? It is as your soul is prospering that you cannot prosper in material things. You are not connected to heaven. That's why you are struggling. Use this period and settle your relationship with God. The blessings will pursue you. Before you call, he will answer. It is the promise of the Lord to us. The power in the word. Therefore, hallelujah. Be careful the type of word you hear. Because there are some words from preachers that cannot convert you. That's why he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Their type of teaching. Amen. They teach for commandment the doctrine of men. It cannot convert you. That's why when the pastor is gesticulating and doing his head like this as his prayer style, watch all their members. All of them will pray. If he's doing his head like this, if he's doing his body like this, when it's time for prayer, all the members will be praying like that. If he has a particular tongue, here mama soto, all of them speak in tongue, here mama soto. You see, you went and received the spirit of your pastor instead of receiving the Holy Ghost. People go to church and receive the spirit of their pastor and think that they have received this, the Holy Ghost. No, beware. Praise the Lord. Because there's a parable in Matthew 13 verse 33. The three works of grace was corrupted by that church. Depicted there as a woman until the whole lump is corrupted. The whole meal became corrupt. That is why Apostle Paul said, there is another gospel. There is another spirit. And even there is another Jesus. Therefore, if don't listen to this one, listen to this one. This one is the tree of life. Amen. If you eat from this tree, you will have life. But if you eat from this other tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it's human knowledge and reasoning, intellectual motivation, motivational speakers, there is nothing that affects the spirit man. Everything they teach is just fleshy and fleshy and fleshy. That's why he told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, since you were a child, he said, you have known the Holy Scripture that is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Because it's not every scripture that can make you to have the wisdom for salvation. There are scriptures that can make you here rich, get all the money you want on earth here, and still you will lose your soul. It will not be our portion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I stressed the last time when Jesus Christ said the hour of my glorification has come, because he was going to the grave. He was going to die. Because it is only after he died that he is now given a name that is above every other name. He conquered death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's not going to be easy, because he saw it coming as a human being at the Garden of Gethsemane. He even prayed. He was even crying, Lord, if it is possible, this wahala that is coming, take this cup away from me. But he still had the spirit that was subject to the perfect will of God. This period, let your prayer be, Lord, let my will be buried in your will, that your will alone will stand in my life. It's a powerful prayer point. Not my will, but thy will be done. I pray regularly, Lord, fulfill the purpose of my existence. Let help me to fulfill the reason why you brought me to earth. Lord, fulfill the reason why you made me your servant. Let me not have my way, but let my own will be buried in your will, because I want to always be in your perfect will. I even used to pray, and that is the truth. I say, Lord, a madman on the street, we go to dustbin and lie down there and be laughing and he's happy. We that are not mad, we see him do that, then we say, this man is mad. He will not bath. He will act anyhow. And he's happy. And do you know what? They know they die. That dirty there will not kill him. Malaria, typhoid, no, they catch him. Hey. And he's always happy. And he has no farm. He has no bank account. He has no job. But he didn't get food to chop. Why? There is a spirit that is inside of him that is leading him to do those things. I say, Lord, like that man is ruled by that mad spirit, Father, possess me and be pushing me to do only your will and cause me to be happy doing it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Gold. Gold. Amen. Before you get the true value and the beauty of the gold, what happens? It goes through fire. Brethren, we will go through fire. Praise the Lord. But let's read that scripture again. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. But amen. Is it Romans chapter 8? Sorry. That the present suffering cannot be compared with the glory.
Romans 8 verse 18. For I reckon.
Romans chapter 8 verse 18. Read it.
For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time.
That we will go through for the purpose of our purification. Yes.
Are not worthy to be compared with the glory.
You cannot compare it. You cannot compare the suffering we are suffering now. It's for a time. I've explained this before. Glorification. See, those of us that had military training and we went through the cadet training, it's usually for a number of years, maybe 3 years. The people that train us are the people that we are going to be their commanders later. They are sergeants, warrant officers, corporals. They teach you in weapon training, in drills, military drills. They teach you everything about, you know, field battle and everything. Now, these people know that you are going to be their oga later. But they are the one that will determine whether you will get commissioned or not by the report they will write on you. You see the contradiction. So within that period, they carry your eyes, see shege. They abuse you. They call you all manner of names. And you say, yes, sir. They get bad mouth. But when you know that, when you pass through this stage, there is a glory that is waiting at the end. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before Jesus, he knew what was waiting for. He said, he endured even through the cross. Brethren, if you are going to be part of this glory, hallelujah, get ready for your test. Don't grumble under any situation. Any problem that come your way, remember, it is happening because, amen, there is a glory that is awaiting us. That's why we sang that song. We are all tossed and driven by
the fiends of life demands.
Some bad times some
holy tempest of succeed.
A bright sunshine. He said, and we wonder why they test when we try to do our best. He said, but we will understand it better
by and by.
But for now, whether we understand it or not, amen, push through, we will soon get there. All that you are going through, listen, while Satan, I preached a message during the COVID-19 that titled The Token. Evidence. There is evidence of salvation. And one of the evidence is a token of suffering. And he said, while they persecute us for who we are, the Bible says, while it is a token of our salvation, that same thing again becomes the token for their judgment. The Bible says so. But it is God that allows them to purify us. It was God that allowed Judas, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the enemies of Jesus to crucify him to fulfill his purpose. Submit yourself and let God purify you. And let me tell you, if your name is in the book of life, all that shall live godly in Christ, not some, let me tell you something, amen, you better deal with every weakness that is revealed to you. Because God is not going to leave any spot in our garment of righteousness. It must be without spot or wrinkle. He's not going to cleanse it when we go to heaven. He's not going to cleanse it when we die. He will cleanse it when we are yet in this life. Amen. Listen, You will not die, oh. I want to say something.
Prophesy.
I want to say something. You daughter of God that is still fornicating. You son of God that is still fornicating. You are still doing Yahoo Yahoo. Can I tell you something? You will never die. Because if you die in that estate, your garment is stained. He will cleanse it while you are alive here. Now, it is better you allow him to do it. If not, he suffer. You will suffer. Miserable, miserable. He will use this one, torment you. And you are wondering, why is my life like this? You know why your life is like that. After all, the Bible says, if a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh his enemies to be at peace with him. If all your life is attack, 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 it means your ways are not pleasing before God. Can I tell you again? No witch will be able to kill you if your name is in the book of life. Let that plane crash, you will come out alive. But you will come out with broken leg. Eh? Until he cleanses you up. Hey, hey. Well, study the Bible. Don't cram the Bible. Study the Bible. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Only the dead with Christ shall resurrect. Are you dead? So you see, the resurrection process now begins. Amen. What is the first thing you have to do for the resurrection? That is what you see in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service.
I'm still pressed to make this comment. I'm still pressed to make this comment. I don't know why it has not released me. I repeat again. Gold must go through fire. And the trial of our faith is much more precious than that of gold. Listen. Nobody gets born again and become perfect the same day. Are you hearing me? Nobody. Amen. You move from glory to glory. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 18. What did he say? The path of the just is as a shining light. Eh?
The path of the just is as the shining light.
What does it do? How does it do?
That shineth more and more unto the perfect.
It will shine more and more. You will go better and better and better and better. That is what you see in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18.
For we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord.
Now watch it very well. Listen to that.
Are changed into the
we
same image.
We are changed into the same image. From what?
From glory to glory.
From what?
Glory to glory.
From what?
Glory to glory.
Glory to glory.
Even as by the Spirit of the
because
Lord.
Because it is the work of the Holy Ghost. When you receive the Holy Ghost, that comes to which is the life that is in that seed that you receive, the seed of the word of God. It changes you from glory to glory. Every day, your life becomes better spiritually. We will face temptations like I face temptation. Before somebody who was my perceived enemy and needed help from me. Is now in my position to yap him. A great temptation. I failed. And only God knows the blessing he has withheld from me for that action. But the first thing he does is he works in your conscience. Trouble you until you give in. Maybe there is something you are struggling with now. Somebody too has hurt you. You just can't forgive. I told you last time about one of my maid at home, Abigail. Abigail here? Is she here? Abigail, wave your hand. Where is she? At the back there. She said God showed her the end of the world, and the rapture was taking place, and the voice told her, you cannot go because there are two people you have refused to forgive. And she was justifying before the Lord that they have a hurt her so badly. That they have a hurt her so badly. He said, yes, but you must forgive. Go and forgive before you will join us. And she came back to herself. Am I correct, Abigail? Wave your hand if what I'm saying is correct. That is she there. Praise the Lord. Now that message is not only for her. Made her to tell me so that I can preach it. You see? You can justify yourself. I didn't do him anything. He is the one that is responsible for my frustration. Since my father died, he collected all my father's property. That's why I didn't go to school. He frustrated my life. You have beautiful reason. It is your enemy. It is a fact that he is your enemy. But he said, the battle belongs to me. Let go. The truth is this. The person you are quarreling with, you are having in your mind, you don't know, say you give her for mind. Eh? So, if you refuse, I offend you, you refuse to talk to me. Nobody they feed me. Nobody they clothe me. You are not even my landlord. Why go fear? I say you go increase rent. Then you are there. When you see me, you bow face. Oh, how does that affect me? You are the one destabilizing your system. Your body is no more in harmony. That is why you fall sick. That is why your body is no more in harmony. Any small malaria will come, you are gone. You see? Allow the power of God to release that out of you. It's not easy. I say it again. It's not easy. It's not easy. To forgive somebody that you know hates you and want to kill you. But David had the same opportunity you have before Saul. And Saul ended up by saying, you are more righteous than me. You had the opportunity to cut off my neck. See the evidence. See your sword, my hand. But say, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. It's a lesson for all of us. Brethren, Christianity is practical. I have a duty to preach. It's your duty. And when I preach to you, I preach to myself too. Shamelessly now, or shamefully now, I told you my own. But it's a testimony now because I don't conquer. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12, the first stage. A few minutes and this will be over.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice.
Wait. When Jesus Christ said in Romans chapter, Matthew chapter 11 verse 28, come to me, listen. Come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. What he's saying is, present yourself and a sacrifice. It is an offering. Church, to come to Christ is to offer him a sacrifice of your body, soul, and spirit. It's not to come to him and say, how now? It's a complete offer. It is an offering. This is what Apostle Paul is saying. Read it again, verse 1.
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice.
A living sacrifice.
Holy.
And it must be acceptable. Holy. Acceptable. Unto who?
Unto God.
Unto God, not unto any man. Don't live your life seeking approval from any human being. Brother Cosmos Maduka told me, he said, whether it is his wife or anybody, he said, the Bible says he should do something, and on that basis he's doing it, and then you are fighting him for obeying the word of God. He said, he will tell you, it's not me you are fighting, it is the word you are fighting, because it is the word that I am obeying. He said, he owes nobody apology when he's obeying the word of God. Acceptable unto who?
Unto God.
Unto God. Ah. I had a testimony yesterday. Brethren, the word of God is true. When you see the word of God in action, it excites me. I'm telling you, it excites me. Brother Chidi from Ireland. Ireland or Iceland? You're hearing me? They have a group of brethren around the world that come together, and regularly they come in prayer meeting and Bible study. So they invited me to join them on Zoom and bless them. I was with them, and Chidi was giving me his testimony how he came across this ministry. A sister wanted to relocate to UK, and when she got there, you know, maybe she went there by faith and met another sister who is supposed to be a member and maybe a leader of one of the Nigerian churches with branches everywhere, with their branch in London there. And he says that woman was there living. She took her in with her little child so that, you know, eventually you find your level. But this sister will not palm her hair, will not wear trouser, will not paint her face. Holy, holy sister. And this, her hostess that kept her, became uncomfortable. And she says, "And what type of life is this? No earring. No painting. You won't wear trousers. You won't palm your hair. You won't do this one." He said, "This is how I want to serve my God. What's the problem?" So because of it, drove her out. To go out in the cold, and she didn't have money. He said, there is a place, not even a hotel, just like a hostel. And she had just enough money to pay for 3 days. After that, only God knows what will happen. No work, nothing. This brother Chidi usually goes out on evangelism on his own. And somebody told him, there's one sister who told a story of so-so-so. He decided to go and meet her. "Is it true you are driven away because of this?" "Yes, yes." He said he asked them there. He said he called his wife. His wife too is a Christian. "There's a problem here. If we can take this sister to live with us." They refused to refund the money to her, but he left it. Brother Chidi, if you are watching me, if you can wave your hand, they will know the story I'm telling is the truth. And then she went. They took her and kept them in their house. He said they observed that every time she's online. Even if she's going to the kitchen, she's on Tuesday, on Friday vigil, on Sunday. So they got interested. Which one is this one? Every time. And then that is him there waving. Brother Chidi. That's Brother Chidi. God bless you. Amen. Now that testimony was very, very instructive. And amen. She did not compromise her faith. Even when they were driving her away. What of you, sister? To get the job you're looking for, you open your leg. Be sincere. If you are the one there, you say, well, let me just get accommodation. God will understand. Let me be wearing a ring with them. Let me be wearing trousers. God will understand. That girl was anchored. Praise the Lord. He said, well, you are not ashamed of me to confess me before men. He too will confess you before the Father. Amen. There had no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. He said, God is faithful. Let's read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13.
Chapter 10 verse 13.
Sorry, chapter 10 verse 13. Chapter 10 verse 13.
There are no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man.
There is nothing we go through that another human being has not gone through it.
But God is faithful.
He is faithful.
Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that?
He will not let you go through what is above what you can go through.
But with the temptation also make a way to escape.
Did he make a way for that sister?
That ye may be able to bear it.
Amen. But the interesting aspect of it all is that Brother Chidi also was into serious problems. He had been in the UK for so many years, no document and things like that. But through that sister, he now located Brother Assembly. He traveled and came here, and his problems were exposed. He told me, I spoke things to him that he claimed, and he went, doors were open. Amen. Prophet Timothy prophesied to him. He said, when you went there, doors were open. You can't bless, and I open scripture to show you, Brother Chidi. Amen. He said, as much as you have done it to the least of this, my brethren, you have done it to me. If you did, the Bible says, he that giveth to the poor, lendeth to God, and he will surely repay you. And I don't know where that her former hostess is. For pushing her out, go and find out something bad. Because God will also deal with her. Chidi, if you had added sorrow upon that woman, God will have doubled your own sorrow. When you bless a child of God, oh, praise God. Praise the Lord. When you bless a child of God, God will bless you. You see, the power of love. Let the wicked forsake their ways. Put on a compassionate heart. You don't know that person you are entertaining may be the source of your turnaround. He said that we should entertain angels, I mean strangers. But thereby many have entertained angels. And when an angel visits you, he's coming with blessings. I wish I had time to dwell more on this. Church, listen. The word of God is real. Study so that you position yourself for God to glorify you. So when he said, come to me, all ye that labor, he said, and I will give you rest. That is, offer yourself a sacrifice. As a sacrifice. That is more important than your tithe and your offering before God. If you have not offered yourself to God, you are wasting your tithe and your offering. Go and use it for something else. He wants to receive you first. He wants a relationship with you first before you begin to serve him. Don't jump to serving a God you have not yet offered yourself to. Now, when you offer yourself to him, then he will mold you. Then he will position you. And if God be for us, who will be against us? The second verse, verse 2. What does it say?
And be not conformed to this world.
That is it. Because when you offer yourself to him, you have actually, and be what?
But be ye transformed.
Be transformed.
By the renewing of your mind.
Because it is a thing of the mind. Come to Jesus, it's not with leg that you come to the altar. It is from the mind.
That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
When he said be transformed, that is, you are moving from one position to another. It's transfer. You can't be in the world and serve God. He called it adultery. James 4:4 says so. James chapter 4 verse 4.
James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses.
He was not talking of marriage. Oh. He's not talking of men fornicating. Oh. Uh-huh.
Know ye not that
is the explanation
of the world is enmity with God?
It's friendship with the world that God looks at it as spiritual adultery.
Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
If you are a friend of the world, you are an enemy of God. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't be one leg in the world and one leg in Christ. We are talking about the way the world lives their life. It's different from the way we live our lives. The way the world dress is different from the way we dress. The world dress to show off. We don't dress to show off. We don't do anything for vainglory. Look, men and women can dress to show off. A man can also be fashionable. A woman can, in fact, fashion is more women. Amen. The attraction of a woman is not the dress she puts on. A Christian woman is the character. Amen. You see why I believe sincerely that these people are wrong that bring comedians to the altar to be making jest. Comedians know where they go to do their comedy. When you come to church, it's serious business. Come and desecrate the altar of God, a place dedicated for worship, with worldliness. They have cultural day. They have all manner of things. Watch television and see their musicians of these Pentecostal churches, men wearing a ring. See the dress the women dress. Bring the world to the church. The Bible says, when you do that, you are calling the name of the Lord in vain. You are an enemy of God. You are to be transformed. And the only way you will transform yourself is move to him. Then he will walk on you. That's what you will achieve within these 21 days for consecration. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As I say, repent. That's the meaning of repent. Repent is transform. Transfer. From your former lifestyle. And come back to a life that you know should be acceptable before the Lord. The process of resurrection. In 1 Peter chapter 2, this is how you will grow. Now, you are dead. Your glory to glory to glory to glory. Listen, you move from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory until the last one is when we come out of this flesh and we are home. But this is where it begins. Yes? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, 2, 3.
Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ.
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1,
Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile.
What did he say?
Wherefore, laying aside all malice.
Lay it aside. Lay malice aside.
And all guile.
All guile.
And hypocrisy.
All hypocrisy.
And envies.
All envies.
And all evil speaking.
Evil speaking against one another.
As newborn babes.
Now that you have received that seed, you are now born again. But you are a newborn baby. You will grow.
Desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby.
What will you use to grow?
The sincere milk of the word.
The word of God.
That ye may grow thereby.
Uh-huh.
If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious.
See, your growth is determined, listen, not by fasting and prayer. I've been saying this thing, and I hope I will not be misunderstood. I'm not against fasting and prayer. Put first things first. There is a due order. It is the word in you that determines your spiritual growth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Desire the water of life, the word of God. He says, I planted. Apollos did what? He waters. Hey, who gave the increase? Do you see the language, the revelated language? Eh? He planted, that is the one that first gave the seed that made them to come to Christ. But there is another ministry of watering. Amen. What I am doing now, I am watering the seed that is in you. With the word, the water of the word. Hallelujah. When you are spiritually down, amen. It's not only prayer and fasting. Go and study the word. Go and study the word. Which part of the word, the pastor? Read the epistles of Apostle Paul. Don't read Psalms. Psalm is for prayer. Every psalm, there is prayer point for you. But the epistle, the watering, hallelujah. Read the New Testament. Read to know who Jesus is. Read the book of Matthew. Read the book of John. Jump to Acts and start again with Romans. You will see how you will see yourself there. When he says, these people, how do you read this? 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Is it chapter 5? Those who will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Chapter 6, verse 9.
Chapter 6.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom
chapter
of God?
Chapter 6, listen. Verse 9, correct? Which verse? Verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Read on.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom
wait,
of God?
Wait. I want to say this point like I would tell a kindergarten man, a kindergarten school. Eh? L for lion. A for alu. O for lumide. Oh yeah. Now, who wants to inherit the kingdom? Put up your hand. Put up your hand. Now, if you want to go in the kingdom, you want to go in the rapture, you want to go to heaven, wave it very well. Now, let's be sincere. Put down your hand. How do you study? Now, read it now.
Be not deceived.
He said, be not deceived. Again, read it from
know
verse
ye not
9.
That the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Unrighteous people can never inherit the kingdom of God. Uh-huh.
Be not deceived.
Uh-huh.
Neither fornicators.
If you are a fornicator and you read this place, you will not read any other scripture. You will close it. Father, have mercy on me. The way I am now, I can't go. Because I'm a fornicator. Then you will look for knife and cut it. Because Jesus said, if your right hand If your right hand will stop you from going, what should you do? What should you do? Take a knife and cut it. You try, the thing will make you fall. You try, the thing will make you fall. It's better I go castrated than go to hell. That's a fornicator. He said they love not their lives unto the death. Do you know the meaning of that statement? Another one.
No idolaters.
Idol worshippers. Go on. What again?
No adulterers.
Adulterers.
No effeminate.
Effeminate.
No abusers of themselves with mankind.
Homosexuals and lesbians.
No thieves.
Thief, not thief. If you carry anybody's thing that does not belong to you without the knowledge or permission of the owner, you're a thief.
No covetous.
Covetous.
No drunkards.
Drunkards.
No revilers.
Fight people.
No extortioners.
419.
Shall inherit the kingdom of God.
None of them will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, verse 11 is very important for us, the born again Christians. For such
and
we are
such
you.
Such were some of you.
Such were some of us.
But ye are washed.
Now we are washed.
But ye are sanctified.
We are sanctified.
But ye are justified.
We are justified in the name,
in the name
of the Lord.
Of the Lord Jesus and
so
by the
we
Spirit
can't
of
be involved in such again. You know, when the preacher is preaching, instead of you to listen to me, you'll be judging me. You too, Uncle. Anytime you say you too, Uncle, that is evidence you don't want to repent. Praise the Lord. Stop judging anybody. There's a minister that left here. He was very, very horrible. Character-wise, very, very horrible. And one of my pastor friends saw a very close friend of mine with that minister. And he called me and said, why am I not warning that my friend from associating with that minister? Can't I see that he may embarrass him one day? I ignored him. He called me one time and was very angry with me. Save this brother. Go and tell him who that minister is. He was with you. And I told him, I said, brother, under two principles. Number one, I'm responsible to a minister only when he's here with me. After he leaves, I have no business whatsoever with him. I don't want to be looked at as if I am fighting him because he left the church. I said, secondly, why do you want me to judge him by the things I knew he was doing when he was with me? What if after he left here, he has changed? It was when I said that my brother came back to his senses. Praise the Lord. Amen. Don't live a life of judging other people. Face yourself. Face yourself. People who don't want to repent, they will say in the church, him unko. Him unko, he they forgive. Him unko, he know they lie. You remember so time they lie where you talk. Now he stand there, they do nya. Do you know whether after I told that lie, I have repented? And who told you to judge me? And he said, who art thou to judge another man's servant? It's our consecration period. We say these things so that you will know the area to face in your spiritual life. It's not to condemn you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why he calls it sincere milk. Because if you are not sincere, the word of God will not profit you. He says it should be sincere milk of the word of God, that you may grow thereby. The sincerity is truthfully applying the word to yourself. Truthfully applying the word to yourself. Praise God. The Lord ministered to me that a sister was not prayerful. I called the sister. I said, the Lord said you are not prayerful. He said, ah, how come? And they pray. I said, okay. That means it's a false voice that spoke to me. He said, no, no, daddy. Maybe he's saying, I don't pray enough. I said, I am telling you what I heard. But you say, I am wrong. So it means a wrong spirit is talking to me now. Because when you point out something that somebody is doing wrong, and the person tries to justify it, stop wasting your time. The person has no hope of being helped. So I just closed the discussion immediately. I said, let me not waste my time with this one. I said, God, say you are not prayerful. Instead of you say, ha, Father, help me. You are going to say, maybe I'm not praying enough. What is the measurement for being enough? What do you use to measure whether you pray enough or not? The person you are praying to say you are not praying, it simply means your prayer is not reaching him. It simply means there may be character that is blocking your prayer. Or you don't pray at the time you are supposed to pray. Whatever it is, he said you are not praying, you are not prayerful. He said you are not prayerful. You there, they argue with me. And the person there, they look me, and they look you, and they look me. I talk to you again after that day. I not talk to you. I left you alone. I'm saying this not for you. I'm saying this for your kind, your type. Let them know. Praise the Lord. When God loves you so much, and when he speaks like that, it may be that there's a battle that is coming ahead. That's why he wants you to position yourself. So you must be sincere. Sincere milk of the word of God. So that you will then understand Isaiah 28, verse 8 and verse 9, 10. Isaiah 28, verse 8, 9 and
For
10.
For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness.
Yes.
So that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge?
Now listen. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Then he's saying, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand the doctrine? What is the answer?
Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast.
Them that are weaned from where?
From the milk.
From the milk. Their food was milk. Sincere milk of the word of God.
And drawn from the breast.
Which breast? Old and New Testament. That is where the milk comes from. Two of them, not only one. Go on.
For precepts must be upon precept.
You see, so that you go from glory to glory.
Precept upon precept.
Precept upon precept.
Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and here a little.
Amen. And just before I close, listen. Amen. Your resurrection is you are going up. I want to stress something. You are going up. All the work that is done in you is to go up. Go up. See, the parable in Mark chapter 4, the seed is sown, it died. Then see the way it traveled. The blade. The ear. The corn in the ear. And then the fruit is formed. Then the sickle. Amen. We will change from glory to glory to glory until we go. But this is the law. Amen. The way up is to go down. Even in principle, Peter said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he will exalt you in due time. Listen. Amen. Amen. He said pride goes before fall. If you want God to lift you up, remove pride. Go down and let him build you up by himself. By himself. By himself. So this is the principle. And this is the way that he put it. In Isaiah chapter 37 and verse 31. Isaiah 37 verse 31. Listen. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root. Where?
Downward.
Which way?
Downward.
You take root downward and bear fruit where?
Upward.
Where do you take your root? Down. When the root, amen, when you are rooted, that is the first work of conversion. God places you where you will be rooted. And where are you rooting? Rooted in his word. Without proper roots, there can never be fruit. The root supplies the nutrients for the fruit. Immediately that seed falls to the ground and dies, the first thing when life begins to come out, it grows downward first. It looks for roots to where there is water. It will grow for roots, root, root, looking for water. You are already going to serve God when you are not yet rooted. Pastor, they say, I should go to Bible school. They say, God, call me. Seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. Be rooted. Be ready to answer them the reason of your hope. Upon this rock I build my church. It's a revelation. The church shall live by faith. Faith is deeper. The deeper you go in faith, the more fruit you begin to bear up. Who will catch this and take the study of the word very seriously? See the churches that people rush to. Are churches that go there on Sunday and spend 45 minutes first service. Second service, 45 minutes. Another service, 1 hour. What are they telling them? And that is the kind of place people want to go. You come here now, you see your neighbor, he has been looking at his time, looking at his ritual, looking at his ritual. It's too long. You are comparing me with the church you are coming from. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and verse 7.
As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord.
As so, you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, what did he say?
So walk ye in him.
Uh-huh.
Rooted and built up in him.
You are to walk rooted and built up. Root. Downward. Building yourself upward and...
And established in the faith as ye have been taught. Uh-huh. Abounding therein with thanksgiving.
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14.
For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Listen very well.
Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named.
Uh-huh.
That will grant you according to the riches of his glory. To be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith.
Uh-huh.
That ye, being rooted and grounded in love.
You must be rooted and grounded in love.
May be able to comprehend with all
that
saints.
That is where you'll be able to comprehend with other saints.
What is the breadth?
The and breadth
and depth and the height. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness.
And verse 20.
Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly,
uh-huh,
above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
There is a power that is working this thing in us. You see? You have to be rooted. That is why the parable of the soil came in. That soil in Mark chapter 4, let's read it. And he gave the interpretation from verse 14.
The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts.
Why?
And
yes, go ahead.
And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground,
uh-huh,
who when they have heard the word immediately receive it.
This soil is your heart, oh, that is receiving the word of God. Uh-huh.
and have no root in themselves.
You see, when you don't have root, what will happen?
And so endure but for a time.
It will only endure for a time.
Afterward, when affliction or persecution
arises
for the word's
sake,
immediately they are offended.
Because there is no root.
And these are they which are sown among thorns.
Yes.
Such as hear the word. And the cares of this world.
Business, rent, school fees, everything.
And the deceitfulness of riches. And the lust of other things entering in. Choke the word.
They will choke that word that you receive.
And it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground.
Good ground is the heart. Such that as is ready to receive and allow God to have his way.
Such as hear the word and receive
it. When they hear the word and they receive it.
And bring forth fruits. Some 30-fold, some 60,
and you can
and some 100.
And you can only have this type of fruit when you are properly grounded. The word of God is our anchor. The anchor, when a ship bursts in water, they throw that anchor down. No matter how the wave pushes it up and down, the anchor will bring him back and steady him. The word of God is our anchor. Musician, tell them about the anchor.
We are anchor. In the storms of life, when the clouds unfold, their wings are strong. When the strong tide lifts and the cable strains, with your anchor drift.
Keeps the soul. Stand for.
Stand.
why we need the roots. The root is not just to keep you anchored. When you are anchored, it does two things. It makes you withstand the storms of life, and it finds nourishment for you to be fruitful. God is interested in us bearing fruits.